A Chinese electric car just drove over 1,000 kilometers, that's 650 miles, on a single charge. And the world's largest battery maker says true solid-state mass production is still years away. So who's right? Is the next generation of battery technology a real threat today, or is it just hype? And what should Western companies be doing about it right now? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, the weekly briefing on technology and its impact on Western business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, it's all about the race for the next generation of batteries. We're seeing a flood of announcements, from major breakthroughs to massive government funding. It's a complex picture, Troy. The core question for our listeners in manufacturing and trading is this: where is the real commercial opportunity and where is the risk? We'll be breaking down China's market-ready progress, the reality check from industry leaders, and the massive strategic responses from both the U.S. and the European Union. Let's start with that headline-grabbing range test. A Chinese car company, NIO, drove one of its ET7 sedans for 1,046 kilometers. How did they do that? Is this the solid-state battery we've all been waiting for?
Not quite. It's a crucial distinction. NIO used a 150 kilowatt-hour semi-solid-state battery from its partner WeLion, which just started production. Another Chinese supplier, Tize, also unveiled what it calls a liquid-solid hybrid battery that can be produced on existing lithium-ion manufacturing lines with minimal changes.
So these aren't all solid-state batteries. What's the difference, and why does that matter?
Think of them as a bridge technology. They incorporate some solid components to boost energy density and safety, but they aren't a complete reinvention. The key advantage is speed to market. By being compatible with existing infrastructure, companies like Tize and WeLion can scale up production and get these better performing batteries into cars now.
How does this specifically affect US and European manufacturers?
This is a direct competitive threat. Chinese EV makers are deploying batteries with over 1,000 kilometers of range today, which addresses the number one consumer pain point, range anxiety. This puts immediate pressure on Western automotive OEMs to accelerate their own battery roadmaps. The pragmatic hybrid approach from China is proving effective.
And for trading and distribution companies?
They need to recognize that the center of battery innovation, at least for these transitional technologies, is currently in China. Suppliers like WeLion and Tize are now credible high-volume partners. Sourcing from them could provide a competitive edge over rivals waiting for Western tech to mature.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
Executives must critically assess their five-year EV strategy. Is waiting for a perfect, all-solid-state solution the right move? Or could partnering on a good-enough, semi-solid battery today deliver a more competitive product in the short term?
That sounds like a clear lead for China, but then we get a very different message from the biggest player in the game, CATL. What did their chairman say?
Xing Yekun, the chairman of CATL, provided a major reality check. He stated that true all-solid-state battery technology is only at level 4 on their 9-level scale. For context, level 9 is mass production. He cautioned against over-optimism, targeting only small-scale production by 2027.
Level 4 out of 9 sounds like it's barely out of the lab. Why is there such a big disconnect between this and what NIO is putting on the road?
It's a difference in definition and standards. CATL is referring to all solid-state batteries, which completely eliminate liquid electrolytes. These face immense hurdles in manufacturing, cost, and durability, particularly the challenge of maintaining perfect contact at the solid-solid interface between the electrolyte and the electrode. The semi-solid batteries are a clever workaround, but they don't solve these fundamental physics problems.
So for European and U.S. manufacturers, what does this caution from CATL signify?
It means the window of opportunity for them is still open, but it's closing. CATL's cautious timeline validates the Western R&D-heavy approach, but it also signals that the manufacturing and cost challenges are very real. Any U.S. or European firm that can solve the high-volume manufacturing puzzle for true solid-state first will have a massive advantage.
And for trading companies, what's the signal here?
The signal is that the supply chain for true solid-state components is still in its infancy. This is the time to build relationships with the companies developing the foundational materials and manufacturing equipment, not just the final battery cells. Think high-purity precursors for sulfide electrolytes or advanced coating and pressing machines.
Actionable insight?
Diversify your technology bets. While pursuing long-term all-solid-state R&D, simultaneously develop contingency plans based on next-generation liquid or semi-solid technologies. CATL itself is investing over $2 billion in semi-solid production. Don't let the pursuit of the perfect become the enemy of the good.
So the U.S. isn't just sitting back. We're seeing a flood of government funding announcements. What's the strategy here?
It's a full-spectrum industrial strategy. The Department of Energy has committed a massive $3 billion to its battery manufacturing and recycling grants program running through 2026. This isn't just R&D, it's for building commercial-scale facilities. On top of that, the DOE just awarded a $150 million grant to a new manufacturing consortium of universities and companies specifically to scale up production of both sulfide and oxide-based solid electrolytes.
So it's both broad funding and targeted grants. Are we seeing this translate to specific U.S. companies?
Absolutely. Solid Power, based in Colorado, received a DOE grant to scale up its continuous production of sulfide-based electrolytes. Dragonfly Energy secured a key U.S. patent for manufacturing powdered solid-state materials, and QuantumScape, a major U.S. developer, just closed a $300 million Series F funding round to scale up its pre-production facility.
How does this coordinated push affect U.S. manufacturers?
This is a clear government-backed signal to onshore the entire battery supply chain. For manufacturers, it means there are significant financial incentives and a growing ecosystem to support building battery and EV production in the U.S. The goal is to reduce reliance on Asia and fortify the North American supply chain.
And for distributors and trading companies?
The focus is shifting to domestic sourcing. Trading companies should be actively identifying and partnering with these emerging U.S.-based material suppliers and technology firms like Solid Power. The bipartisan infrastructure law is fundamentally reshaping the supply map.
The takeaway for a U.S. executive.
Actively pursue DOE grants and consortium memberships. The U.S. government is putting billions of dollars on the table to build a domestic battery industry. Aligning your company's strategy with this national priority can provide a significant capital and competitive advantage.
It sounds like the U.S. is moving aggressively. What about Europe? Are we seeing a similar strategic response?
We are. The EU's strategy is channeled through its Horizon Europe program. They've launched multiple highly coordinated projects. One is called SOLVE, led by Spain's CDITEC Energy Storage, aimed at accelerating mass production of what they call Gen 4B solid-state batteries. It covers the entire value chain, from digital design tools to innovative recycling processes.
So it's a very holistic approach. What other specific technologies is Europe targeting?
Another major Horizon Europe project is focused specifically on advanced bipolar solid-state battery architectures. This design stacks cells directly on top of each other, which increases energy density and simplifies the battery pack. On the commercial front, the Taiwanese developer Prologium has forged a strategic partnership to supply its solid-state battery modules to a major unnamed European automaker.
What does this mean for European manufacturers, particularly in the automotive sector?
It means the EU is serious about creating a self-sufficient battery ecosystem, a battery Airbus. For manufacturers, this is an opportunity to co-develop technology with research institutions and get in on the ground floor of a new European supply chain. The partnership with Prologium shows they are also open to bringing in external technology to accelerate timelines.
And for trading and distribution companies within the EU?
They need to align with the goals of the Horizon Europe programs. The emphasis is on building a circular, sustainable, and local value chain. This means opportunities in sourcing recycled materials, distributing components from new European gigafactories, and providing logistics for a regionalized industry.
And the actionable insight for European executives?
Engage with a consortia being formed under Horizon Europe. This is not just about R&D funding. It's about shaping the standards, supply chains, and technologies that will define the next decade of European electromobility and energy storage.
So we have China pushing ahead with market-ready tech, and the US and EU responding with massive strategic investments. Underneath all this, where is the technology itself heading? Where is the intellectual property battle being fought?
The latest patent landscape report from PatSnap gives us a clear picture. Between 2020 and 2026, over 32,786 patent families for solid-state batteries were filed. While Japan and South Korea have historically led, China has surged since 2022.
What do the patents tell us about the key technology challenges?
They reveal two things. First, the biggest single cluster of patents is still for sulfide-based electrolytes, which companies like Toyota and Solid Power are focused on.
However, the fastest growing area with a 396% increase in filings is in halide electrolytes. These are seen as a promising new class of material, with one recent paper in Nature Energy reporting a record 25 millisiemens per centimeter ionic conductivity.
So, a fight between different chemistries. What's the second key takeaway?
The report identifies that the single most critical challenge, which cuts across all chemistries, is engineering the electrode-electrolyte interface. This is the source of the interfacial resistance that Xnergy Materials highlighted in their recent guide, and the primary cause of dendrite growth that leads to short circuits. Dozens of patents, like those on using ALD stabilization or PVDF modification, are aimed at solving this one problem.
For US and European tech companies, what's the implication?
This is where the war will be won or lost. Instead of trying to compete on sheer scale with Asian gigafactories, Western firms can dominate high value add segments. This means developing breakthrough materials like the new halide electrolytes or creating the advanced manufacturing processes like Topan's high precision coating technology that solve the interface problem.
And for trading companies?
Look beyond the battery cells. The real opportunity may be in licensing the IP or distributing the specialty chemicals, precursor materials, and manufacturing equipment that enable these advanced designs. The company that patents the definitive solution for the interface problem will have immense leverage.
Your final actionable insight for the week, Troy?
Focus your R&D and investment on enabling technologies, particularly those that solve the interface challenge. This is the fundamental bottleneck to commercialization, and the company that holds the key intellectual property for the solution will be in an incredibly powerful position, regardless of where the batteries are ultimately assembled.
All right, Troy, a lot to unpack this week. Can you give us the strategic summary? What are the three key takeaways for our listeners?
First, the era of semi-solid-state batteries is here now, led by Chinese firms. This is not a future technology, it's a current competitive threat. Western automakers and their suppliers must decide whether to engage with this bridge technology or risk being uncompetitive on range and performance for the next several years.
Second,
both the US and the EU have committed to building resilient domestic battery supply chains with billions in public funding. For manufacturers, this is a clear signal to onshore production and R&D. For anyone in the value chain, aligning with these national and regional strategic goals is the fastest way to access capital and new business.
And the final takeaway?
Third, the ultimate technology race is being fought at the material and process level, specifically at the electrode-electrolyte interface. The most valuable intellectual property will be in the solutions that enable cost-effective, high-volume manufacturing of a stable interface. This is where U.S. and European tech firms can still win and dominate.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you, Susie.
Join us next week for another edition of Troy Technical Intelligence, where we translate technical developments into actionable business strategy. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. Until then, thank you for listening.